Chapter 18, Second Movement, Stray Stars Serenade. Serenade, a lighthearted piece written in several movements, usually intended as background music. By all rights, Sasuke should leave. He should step back, step away, let Naruto go back to his room at the inn and keep their relationship exactly the same as Yoko and Sasuke's has been since the Uzushionin's arrival. Polite, wary distance, with an edge of suspicion and distrust. It would be safer for both of them that way. Better for their plans to bring Danzo's action to Tsunade's attention. But of all the things Sasuke is prepared to do, that is not one of them. He's not about to let any distance come between him and Naruto. Not for anything. Not now, after so long. Naruto doesn't protest either, though, when Sasuke makes no move to leave, and allow them to enter the village separately. He's mostly quiet as they walk back through the dark woods, approaching Konoha from the opposite direction of Danzo's base, so as not to arouse suspicion. They've been out long enough that the witching hour has turned to early morning, and the pale light of false dawn is spreading across the sky. The storm clouds that have been gathering for the past few days are still present, hanging low and heavy and unstirred by the faint, cool wind that's picking up. Sasuke eyes them, wondering about rain, but then dismisses the thought in favor of studying his companion. The blue eyes are green again, thanks to another pair of colored contacts, and Sasuke feels a disproportionate sense of loss in the face of the simple disguise. The mask is in place again, too, but Sasuke knows Naruto's face well enough, has seen it in his mind's eye enough, that he doesn't need to see it. But the eyes? The eyes are a loss to him, an ache, and Sasuke doesn't care to think what that says of either him or his state of mind, where his runaway teammate is concerned. Maybe it's because whenever he thinks of Naruto, he thinks of determination and humor and enthusiasm and relentless good cheer, all wrapped up in Sky. Maybe it's because of all the things he remembered about Naruto over those 7 years, he could never quite recall the exact shade of that warm gaze. Maybe it's because even when Naruto hides everything possible behind a smile, his eyes still show so clearly what he's feeling. Maybe it's because Sasuke is just unaccountably fond of the color blue. The gate is in view now, and that too feels like a loss. Like maybe once they leave the peace of the forest, there won't be anything left between them. None of the closeness or kisses. Just Naruto ahead and Sasuke chasing his shadow, the way it has been for 7 years already. He tenses a little, as though preparing for Naruto to up and bolt. But instead, the blonde turns to him with his eyes crinkled in a grin Sasuke can all but feel, even hidden beneath the mask as it is. "Justin, time for breakfast," he offers cheerfully, and makes an aborted motion as though to cross his arms behind his head. Catching himself in time, he huffs out a soft, aggrieved breath, and instead tucks them into the sleeves of his dark blue kimono, which perfectly hides the more form-fitting black outfit beneath. Sasuke will never admit to being impressed by the former dead last's planning, because he suspects Haku had a hand in it. Or two. But he'll begrudgingly allow that Naruto's sneaking, at least, had all bases covered. He'd been about to escape, even before Sasuke interfered. "We're not getting ramen, Dobe," he retorts, because he can already see where this is leading. Maybe Sasuke has eaten ramen for breakfast once or twice, and no one will ever know whether it was nostalgia or laziness that drove him to it, because Sasuke is taking that secret to his grave. But he's hardly about to let Naruto get away with anything. Not after so long without their easy rivalry. Thankfully, Naruto doesn't comment on the implication that they're staying together. His eyes even brighten, as though he likes it. And what he says is an indignant, "Teme, I wasn't about to suggest that. I do realize how not to act like myself, you know." Sasuke politely refrains from voicing his extreme skepticism, because honestly, it only took him a handful of days to find out Naruto's identity, And while he's one of Konoha's geniuses, he's not a genius with people, certainly. A sharp roll of his eyes escapes, though, and he thinks that more than speaks for him. But they're within earshot of the gate now, so Naruto can only growl lowly at him before readjusting his body language to read as completely unconcerned. Another instance where Sasuke will never admit to being impressed, but is. Slightly. Shifts are just changing as they reach the entrance, Kiba and Akamaru making way for Kotetsu and Izumo with a yawn. Kiba waves absently to Sasuke, and the big white and red dog barks a slightly more polite greeting. Kiba, Sasuke murmurs with a nod, because Naruto is walking at his elbow and he feels far more at peace with the world than usual, even given the revelations in the forest. Akamaru. Yo, the Tokujo answers easily, his eyes tracking to Naruto without fail. Bit early for a walk, Uchiha. Uchiha-san was polite enough to show me some of the more interesting parts of the local forests, Naruto says, and Sasuke is easily able to pick out his Yoko voice, slightly more cultured and far more diplomatic than his normal one. And, all right, maybe it's not a complete surprise that no one else has figured him out yet. We don't have trees like yours back in Whirlpool. Kiba manages to look lazy, even though his gaze is sharp, something he has in common with Shikamaru. Though Sasuke will never, ever make such a comparison out loud. He sniffs subtly at the air, and Sasuke spares a moment to pray that Naruto's scent is the same sea wind one he's had since he arrived, and that their little jaunt in the woods didn't bring back Naruto's old, clear air and water smell. Inazuka noses are a little daunting, honestly. You guys have trees? He asks, and belatedly seems to realize that could be taken the wrong way. Hinata has managed to teach him some manners, at least. No offense. Naruto just laughs. Yoko's laugh, Sasuke is glad to note, far more restrained and with an undertone of politeness. He feels greedy, almost, where the hints as to Naruto's true identity are concerned. Possessive. Maybe he has no right, but he'd like to think he does. We have trees, but they're much smaller, and the wind from the sea is strong enough that they rarely grow straight. Even up on the hills above the village, it's mostly shrubs and grass. Even with all of his missions elsewhere, growing up in Konoha has left Sasuke unable to quite picture such a thing. Such a lack of trees and canopy and dense undergrowth. Konoha has clearings and open spaces, yes, but they're always ringed with trees. Or there are trees in the distance. Or something. From the look on his face, Kiba can't really comprehend it either. Huh, he says. And then, because Akamaru will always be the one with more social graces of the pair. And that's truly a sad thought. He turns his attention to Sasuke with a shrug. Uchiha, we're all meeting at the Crooked Kunai tonight. You coming? Sasuke hesitates, torn. It's become something of a weekly ritual for the Konoha 12. 11 with Naruto gone. Though they've never quite been able to bring themselves to change the name. To pick a bar and spend the night getting absolutely plastered, complaining about their lives, celebrating their successes, and mourning their failures. Within a week of Sasuke's return from his travels with Jiraiya, Ino had dragged him along as well. And now, barring missions, Sasuke just doesn't miss it. He tells himself it's because he can appreciate routine chances to unwind as much as any Anbu. But tonight? He casts a glance at Naruto, who's watching him with one brow faintly quirked. Tonight he planned to spend with Naruto. Will spend with Naruto, because Sasuke has been looking for him for the better part of a decade and has finally found him, and he's already neck-deep in trouble that Sasuke is more or less obligated to pull him out of, or, barring that, that he's obligated to jump right into alongside him and hope they don't both get pulled under. He's hardly about to let Naruto face down the man who had Sasuke's entire clan killed on his own. Apparently, though, Kiba misinterprets their shared glance. because a flicker of slightly horrified comprehension crosses his face, and he instantly backpedals, throwing his hands up as though to ward them off. We can totally put it off for another night, or just survive without you if you've got better people. Things to do. Oh my gods, I totally don't want to know about your sex life, even indirectly. Bye! Sasuke hadn't actually been aware that Kiba was that proficient at the Shushin. Impressive. Kotetsu and Izumo, not quite out of sight by the gate, are all but wheezing with laughter, and not even trying to hide it. Perhaps it's base suspicion on his part, but Sasuke has a feeling this story is going to be all over the village before the sun even rises. They're inventive, opportunistic bastards when it comes down to it, and make up a good portion of the reason why Sasuke is absolutely justifiably wary of evil little Chunin. There's a beat of silence in the wake of Kiba's departure. Then, with a familiar and entirely wicked spark in his eyes, Naruto says, his tone and body language perfectly innocent. The crooked kunai? That's a bar, right? Sasuke bares his teeth in what a blind man might possibly be able to term a smile. 9 o'clock, he agrees, more than willing to torture Kiba at any time, especially with Naruto's implied agreement to tag along. Do you have plans for the evening? There's a grin beneath the mask, sharp and foxy, and this time when Naruto laughs, it's his real laugh. Sasuke is sort of just totally pleased down to his toes at that. If that's an invitation, I do now, Naruto says, then offers the asphyxiating Chunin a polite wave and heads into the village. Sasuke falls into step beside him, tucking his hands into his pockets, and doesn't turn off at the intersection heading towards Naruto's inn. Instead, he leads Naruto back to his own apartment in one of the higher-end shinobi districts. He's still decompressing, still trying to deal with the revelations dumped on him, trying to fit his brain around Itachi the shinobi loyal to the point of insanity, rather than Itachi the murderous traitor. Trying to adjust to Naruto kissing him back. And while that's absolutely fantastic, Sasuke would be lying if he said he expected it. His life has never, ever gone as he expects it to, though. So perhaps he should just learn to take it in stride, his preconceptions being blown out of the water like this. Naruto glances over at him as they reach his door, and Sasuke knows it's just his imagination, but he'd swear he sees a flicker of summer sea blue beneath the green. All right? He asks, just a breath too soft to be overheard. Sasuke looks at him and doesn't look away. Never again, not if he has any say in the matter. And he will. Looks at the fall of blonde hair, too long to be spiky, but trying regardless. The tanned skin, smooth and warm, even across the inches between them. The steadiness of that stare, even if it's the wrong color. The straight back and squared shoulders. Head unbowed, no weight of being outcast, being ostracized, to pull him down. He's thought it before, that he likes Konoha, loves it, but he loves the people here more than the village itself, especially if the exclusion of the Uchiha was one of the things that led to the coup and resulting massacre. And Sasuke saw how Naruto was treated as a child too many times to feel any doubt. And of those people, Naruto is the most precious to him, hands down without any doubt at all, and Sasuke feels like something torn open in his chest. But warm, hot even, not quite an ache because it's good, this sense of freedom that comes with the recognition of what Naruto is to him. Everything, without fail, and Sasuke has suspected it before, but now he knows. He looks at Naruto, thinks of the place that has made him what he is now, the shinobi village he built up from the ruins into a true power, and understands that when Naruto leaves, as he certainly will, Sasuke will go with him, even if he has to commit treason to do it. Sasuke won't be left behind again. A breath in, a breath out, and he offers Naruto a small, faint smile. Not strained, not indecisive, because he's already made his decision and will hold to it, through fire and flood and hell itself. If Sasuke has one thing going for him, it's his sheer bloody-minded stubbornness, after all. Yes, he answers, and his voice doesn't waver at all. I'm fine. Truth, wholly and utterly. The rain starts in earnest, just beyond the border. Were he alone and not forewarned, Jiraiya would likely charge right in and head for Amegakure without pause, wanting to get this entire bitter mission over with. But Orochimaru is a quiet, steady presence at his side, hood drawn up to shield him from the light drizzle that reaches the fire country side of the border. He knows of Pain's chakra in the rain, his knowledge of everything that goes on within Ame, and has warned Jiraiya at least in passing. He's still a taciturn, unforthcoming bastard, entirely too fond of secrets for Jiraiya's peace of mind, but that's the way he's always been, and Jiraiya has had enough experience with it that he can adjust and work around it. Plan? He asks softly, crouching down in the undergrowth and peering into the gray dimness that begins a few hundred yards in front of them. If we can't take so much as a step across the border without being seen, how the hell are we going to make it all the way to their base undetected? A hesitation, and then Orochimaru gracefully folds down to kneel beside him, rummaging in one of his pockets. His hand emerges bearing a thick scroll, the paper only about 6 inches across. A cheat, he answers, and quickly unrolls it, revealing almost 10 feet of paper intricately marked with seals, the likes of which Jiraiya, even with all his years of study, has never seen. Feeling almost breathless, he reaches out to trace a finger over one particularly intricate spiral, trying to work out what it's for. Something to do with time and space, he thinks, though he can't tell more without closer study. What is this? He demands, slightly offended, because all three of the Sannin are good at seals, brilliant with them, but Jiraiya has always been better than his teammates in this, at least, if nothing else. If Orochimaru did this, though, if he wrote these beautiful, looping, curling seals with their elegance and functionality, all tied up in sheer, thrumming power, Jiraiya is going to be obligated to become a monk or something out of pure shame. Damn it. Thankfully, for the future of the Icha Icha series, Orochimaru just chuckles softly, rising to his feet and beckoning for Jiraiya to stand as well. It was a gift, he explains, finger ghosting over the paper right next to Jiraiya's, close enough to touch, and for once they're not at each other's throats. From the Uzukage, since he suspected that I would be best left to check up on Akatsuki on my own, given my ties, I placed an anchor seal in one of the empty rooms at their base on my last visit, and this can take us there directly. It's been charged with chakra, as it takes more than I can safely provide to use it. But the charge should last through at least 2 jumps, even with a passenger. Orochimaru is strong, one of the strongest shinobi in the elemental countries, in fact. It's one of the reasons he's still alive and kicking, and has been able to establish his own village, even though he's the closest the shinobi world has to a monster under the bed. Or, at least he was. To think that even after almost 50 years of experimenting and learning and pushing boundaries, he's still not powerful enough to use this seal freely is daunting. It also makes Jiraiya wonder just what kind of insane chakra tank did charge it. He's not entirely certain he actually wants to know. Will they sense us arriving? He asks, because surely that much chakra being put out will attract someone's notice. And if they're going to have to immediately jump into a fight to the death, he wants to know ahead of time. The look that earns him is scathing and mildly scornful. Really, Jiraiya, what do you take me for? Orochimaru shoves Jiraiya a foot to the left, curls the scroll around his shoulders, and steps up beside him, their sides all but pressed together, as he twists the paper to make a loop around them. The entire room is so tightly warded that no one would notice a Kage going all out, even if they were standing in the hall. This will be fine. Jiraiya is fairly dubious, but only because he remembers a good many missions when they were kids, starting with those words, that went to shit almost immediately, and his luck isn't good enough to make him think that this one won't be the same. Still, they're both older now, prepared for just about anything, and Orochimaru has given him a very thorough accounting of the various members' strengths and weaknesses. It will have to be enough. Orochimaru smears a long streak of blood across one end of the scroll, forms a quick hand sign, and murmurs, "Transport." With a crinkling, rustling rush, the scroll comes to life, whirling around them as it starts to glow. There's a near explosion of power and light. Jiraiya yelps, automatically latching onto Orochimaru's arm. He drags him a step closer, trying almost desperately to keep the other man from getting swept away as the ground lurches beneath their feet. And it's a startling comfort to feel Orochimaru's hand just as firmly around his own wrist as the darkness closes in. It's not unconsciousness, Jiraiya realizes a little belatedly, blinking into the oppressive black around them as the scroll rolls itself neatly back up and drops to the ground with a clatter. They're in a small room, judging by the feel of the air, and there isn't a hint of light to be seen. "If you want light," Orochimaru says, sounding faintly aggrieved and, as happened all too frequently as children, apparently reading his mind, "you'd best do something about it, Jiraiya. My fire jutsus still have the tendency to end explosively." Jiraiya makes a face, because for all his genius, Orochimaru has never quite managed to achieve anything less destructive than a supernova while using a katon jutsu. Privately, he suspects it's one of the reasons Orochimaru is so hell-bent on learning every jutsu in existence. He absolutely loathes being inept at anything, especially when he's always so deft and subtle with all of his other jutsus. Yeah, keep your hair on, he mutters, in a tone he knows directly bypasses the leash Orochimaru keeps on his temper, and swallows a grin at the low hiss it earns him. After a moment of concentration, fire sparks above his palm, and the room is thrown into flickering relief, bare and thankfully empty, with seals on the walls and floor. Orochimaru stoops to pick up the transportation seal and carefully tucks it away, then drops down to sit lotus-style and rests his hands on his knees, arching an expectant eyebrow at his former teammate. Rolling his eyes, Jiraiya joins him. It's war council time now, obviously. Gods forbid he get any say in the matter. It's mildly reassuring when Orochimaru conjures a set of blueprints from somewhere within his voluminous robes and spreads the papers out between them, laying one long finger over a room on the bottom floor. "We're here," he murmurs, and traces a path down the hall and up a set of stairs. This is where the general quarters are, with Deidara and Sasori's rooms first. Deidara, at least, will be simple enough to deal with. He's still entirely human, regardless of his bloodline. Sasori will need to be sealed away before he can access any of his puppets and make a nuisance of himself. Itachi's room is here, but he tends towards insomnia, and it's best not to expect him to be there right now. Then Kisame, who will be troublesome. The monster of the hidden mist? Yeah, I'd say so, Jiraiya mutters, narrowing his eyes in thought. With that sword of his, chakra-based attacks will be worse than useless. It also means that Orochimaru definitely isn't the best person to face him. For all his power, Orochimaru is and always has been more focused on ninjutsu than anything else. From the expression he's wearing, Orochimaru understands that too. The faint sideways pull to his mouth, not quite a grimace but certainly not happy expression, is familiar. Jiraiya used to see it when Sarutobi would teach them katon techniques, and Orochimaru would be forced to sit out and simply watch. "The five elements seal wouldn't hurt," the snake sonnen ventures after a moment of consideration. Given Samehara's abilities... Now there's a thought! Jiraiya grins. Orochimaru meets his eyes, smirking faintly. And Jiraiya wonders if it's stupid to feel like the two of them together could take on nations. Given past events, probably not. With a laugh that's far more optimistic than it likely should be, Jiraiya levers himself to his feet and offers Orochimaru a hand up. Let's get to it then, he says. Orochimaru smiles back at him, just faintly, and with an edge of arrogant certainty. But he takes the proffered hand and lets Jiraiya pull him to his feet. Let's, he agrees, and they walk shoulder to shoulder as they head down the hall.